This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Thank you for calling the White House. Unfortunately, we cannot answer your call today because congressional Democrats are holding government funding, including funding for our troops and other national security priorities, hostage to an unrelated immigration debate.
On the anniversary of the Trump presidency, a federal government shutdown. This is something President Trump claimed to be an expert on under President Obama.
You have to get the people in a room and you have to get a deal. That's good for everybody and good for the country.
But what happened to Florida's deal when it comes to offshore drilling? The administration breaks a promise to Governor Rick Scott.
It looks like a political play to make Rick Scott look like some sort of a hero.
And we'll talk with State Representative Sean Shaw, who has decided to jump in the crowded race for Attorney General of Florida.
Listen, the office needs someone who is willing to be active in protecting Floridians. I might argue, I would tell you that I don't think the current office is doing enough to protect Floridians. I think they're being too kind of, you know, passive.
All that and more coming up on episode 134 of The Rotunda. 1 year ago, we were broadcasting this program from the streets of Washington, D.C. We were there sitting in the front rows to witness the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump.
Money or power, he already have it. So he's giving us the opportunity to be Americans again, to rise, to get wealth, to get out of welfare, to find opportunities. And he's giving us everything, and he's giving us God back. Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing is, like, even though he has power and wealth, he seeks more power and wealth.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so?
No,
I don't think so. You can see him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need it. He's so humble. I know him.
So that's just a snippet of some of his supporters at the inauguration. You can listen to the rest on episode 91 of The Rotunda.
When women's rights are under attack, we stand up, we fight back.
We also covered the Women's March and pay close attention to this Florida woman raising her concerns a year ago about what's actually playing out
today. And where are you from?
Today.
Bradenton.
Bradenton?
Yep.
What brought you here?
A couple of reasons. I have always felt that we should have our own reproductive rights, and I don't want to see anybody take those away.
Mm-hmm.
I have a gay brother, so I'm marching for him, too.
All right. So what do you make of President Trump?
He wasn't my choice, let's put him that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be watching everything he does. I have been much more politically involved.
What do you make of Florida having a seat at the table with the relationship with Governor Rick Scott?
We're actually focusing in on the next 2 years' elections, because we've got to prepare for the possibility that he's going to try to run for Senator Nelson's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that. We just can't have any more of him and his cronies and Bondi and her cronies anywhere near Florida. It's holding us back big time.
When it comes to Governor Rick Scott, many suspected Trump's plan to exclude Florida from a massive plan to expand offshore drilling was all politics. Here is Florida lobbyist known as Clean Energy Girl, Susan Glickman.
Given that President Trump has been strongly encouraging Governor Scott to run against Senator Bill Nelson, it looks like a political play to make Rick Scott look like some sort of a hero.
The Trump administration reversed course, and Florida is now back on the table for offshore drilling. This broken promise doesn't look so good for Scott, but we'll see how they turn things around. Let's make a deal.
Thank you for calling the White House. Unfortunately, we cannot answer your call today because congressional Democrats are holding government funding, including funding for our troops and other national security priorities, hostage to an unrelated immigration debate. Due to this obstruction, the government is shut down. In the meantime, you can leave a comment for the president at www.whitehouse.gov/contact. We look forward to taking your calls as soon as the government reopens.
That's the official White House voice message. Remember when businessman Donald Trump used to blame President Obama for not being savvy enough to avoid such a crisis?
And unfortunately, he's never been a deal maker. That wasn't his expertise before he went into politics, and it's obviously not his expertise now. But you have to get the people in a room, and you have to get a deal that's good for everybody and good for the country.
Well, President Trump and even Governor Rick Scott have shifted blame away from the office of the president to everyone else. Trump calls it a Democrat shutdown, despite Republicans are in control of the government. Governor Scott blames a group of senators who voted for the shutdown. Not too long ago, Scott used to say, "The buck stops with the president." This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Just as payday lenders in Florida are seeking to skirt new federal consumer protections with their own state legislation, consumer advocates claim the Trump administration is planning to water down those federal rules. The new boss at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, has said it will reconsider the Obama-era regulations designed to protect loan customers. Alice Vickers with the Florida Alliance for Consumer Protection thinks it's part of an effort to rescind the Bureau's most aggressive regulations.
I am assuming that this is pretty much a gift to the payday lending industry and that these rules are going to be severely eroded in terms of the consumer protection that we were hoping they would provide.
Vickers says the federal rules that would have gone into effect were so pro-consumer that it scared the payday loan industry into finding ways around them.
The payday lending industry has filed legislation at the Florida legislature to evade the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rules and to create a product that would be outside of the reach of the CFPB rules on short-term loans.
Vickers says no one knows what, if any, new rules might come from the CFPB under Acting Director Mick Mulvaney. But in Florida, the payday lenders legislation, House Bill 857, heads to its last committee stop, and an identical version of the bill, SB 920, is moving ahead in the Senate. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us expand our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites throughout Florida and across the country. And we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media and check out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. We welcome your generous contribution along with your tips and story ideas. And as always, thanks for your support. State Representative Sean Shaw, Tampa Democrat and the son of the first Black Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court, has entered the campaign for Attorney General, and he's not satisfied with the performance of outgoing Attorney General Pam Bondi. I'm standing with Shaw outside the Florida Supreme Court, where his father, the late Leander Shaw Jr., was justice from 1983 to 2003, serving as Chief Justice from 1990 to 1992.
Listen, the office needs someone who is willing to be active in protecting Floridians. I might argue, I would tell you that I don't think the current office is doing enough to protect Floridians. I think they're being too kind of, you know, passive, and that office lends itself to an aggressive prosecution of people that are doing bad things to Floridians, and that's what I intend to do.
Why now? You just got into the legislature.
What's going on in D.C. spoke to me in a way that I didn't expect it to, quite frankly. And attorneys general are the first line of defense against some of the stuff the president's doing. Congress has shown that it's not willing to do what needs to be done. The New York Attorney General, the California Attorney General, the D.C. Attorney General, they are engaged in lawsuits to try to directly stop the president from some of these immigration policies or the Emoluments Clause stuff. And those spoke to me. I didn't expect to do this. This is not something that I mean, I've always wanted to be Attorney General, but I didn't expect to do this now, but nor did I expect the current president to be doing what he's doing.
Your competition, the layout, what makes you think?
Listen, if you look at my record of consumer protection, I would tell you I'd put that up against anybody that's in that building, period. I would also tell you that politically speaking, I mean, the environment is ripe for a great year for us. So let's do it.
What makes it so ripe?
Well, you've seen the Alabama Senate race, the Virginia legislative races, the president constantly tweeting things that are inappropriate, racist, sexist. And so you find yourself in a place where there's going to be a wave. It's just how big. And I believe we're well positioned to be able to take advantage of that.
For those who really don't know the role of Attorney General here in Florida, what is it and what do you plan to do differently than what
I would tell you, right now. It is the ultimate consumer protection role. You know what I mean? So it is the ultimate office where you get to stand up for consumers, people that are the opioid crisis, people that are being have predatory loans, people that, you know, when the BP oil spill happened, you can sue on behalf of the state of Florida. You represent the people of the state of Florida. That's the greatest job in government. And so you need to determine what you're going to do every day to protect average Floridians in that wide array of subjects. And so that's what I intend to do. I would argue that I don't think it's been done as much as it should have been. We're going to be a super activist office. You're going to see activity from that office at a level that, quite frankly, hadn't been seen in a long time.
And lastly, what's the number one issue? If you were in the office right now, what would you be trying clear up?
Opioid crisis. I think we need to sue the pharmaceutical companies for their hand in the opioid crisis.
All right. Sean Shaw,
thanks,
congrats. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
The Republican Attorneys General Association was quick to label Shaw as an extreme liberal. Shaw is actually the fourth member of the State House to enter the contest, joining Republicans Jay Font of Jacksonville, Frank White of Pensacola, and Ross Spano of Dover. Former Hillsborough County Circuit Judge Ashley Moody is also in the Republican contest. Shaw joins Hillsborough County Attorney Ryan Torrens in the Democratic field. Current Attorney General Pam Bondi is facing term limits. So this is the part where I tell you what's coming up next week. But it looks like the Associated Press is upping their game in the multimedia world as reporter Gary Fineout released this video preview. Have a listen.
Well, it's week three of the Florida legislature, and legislators this coming week have a jam-packed agenda. One of the things they're going to be doing is taking up an $80 billion plus state budget. That's the one bill that they have to pass every year. But let's focus on a proposal that's getting a bit of a buzz this year, the idea of removing Florida from daylight saving time. This proposal has been considered many years and has really gone nowhere, but this year, some Republicans are getting behind the concept. And for the first time ever, a Senate panel will consider the legislation. If it were to pass, it would mean that Floridians would no longer have to reset their clock every March and November. But it would also mean that parts of Florida were not in the same time zone as the East Coast. The Florida House is also going to be considering two significant proposals this week. One is a top priority for Governor Rick Scott and House Speaker Richard Corcoran, and that's to require a supermajority in any future votes to raise taxes and fees. If approved by voters this coming November, it would mean that legislators would have to have a two-thirds vote in order to raise taxes and fees. Lastly, there is a proposal to create a Florida slavery memorial on the grounds of the state capitol. A similar proposal came up last year, but it was killed in the Florida Senate. If it were to pass, a memorial would be created that would acknowledge the cruelty and injustice that was slavery in the United States.
This is awesome. That's Gary Fineout. Make sure to check out his blog, The Fine Print. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.